Ezra chapter 4. I think it would be great if life is just a straight line.
You know, the plans you have, the ambitions you have, if things pan out as you desire. But I'm sure I don't need to persuade anyone. Most likely, life has not panned out as we wanted. And in Ezra chapter 4, we are going to see what the people of God also faced. Opposition. Opposition. A couple of things to note. In Ezra chapter 4, what we have there, when you read it, you feel as though it's one story. It happened chronologically. So this year, this happened, and the following year, this happened. But actually, they belong to different time periods. You would notice that. So look, for example, at verse 5. How it ends. So talking about the people and bribe counselors against them to frustrate their purposes. All the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So remember, Cyrus was the one who gave the decree, and they left Babylon, and they came to Jerusalem. And it says that there was frustration up to Darius. Now look at verse 24. Then the work of the house of God that is in Jerusalem stopped, and it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. So actually, you can move from verse 5 to verse 24. That is the story. But what Ezra has done is that he has opened up the story and brought in another kind of opposition that people faced. So the material we have here is arranged thematically around the issue of opposition. So there are two main sections, from Cyrus to Darius, and then, you know these Hunhujos names, Ahasuerus to Artaxerxes. Maybe it's a name for your next child, your son. Artaxerxes. No teacher will mess with the child. So let's look at the story. From Cyrus to Darius. Look at verse 1, how the people of the land are described. Now, when the adversaries of Judah, the tree, I like to look at the tree, it helps me feel the weight of the word. It says, Judah ne Benjamin are town for. You know, adversary sounds like a nice word. You know, you can use it, oh, you are my adversary. and you just go, bro, food there. But it says, a town for. I think the NIV says, enemies. Enemies. So remember that there was a decree according to the word of God that he has spoken. It's been fulfilled. The people have come to the land. Look, what were they seeking to do? They were seeking to fulfill the word of the Lord. And then a town fall. Now let's look at how they worked. Verse 2. Now remember, verse 1 has told us that these are enemies. So now it helps us understand what is happening in verse 2. They approached Zerubbabel and the heads of the father's houses and said to them, let us build with you. For we worship your God as you do. And we have been sacrificing to him ever since the days of Esharden, king of Assyria, who brought us here. Now, when you look at verse 2, even if you forget verse 1, there's something that should raise a big, big red an alert here. What is it? When they said that we have been sacrificing, remember the kingdom split into two, and the southern kingdom was called Israel. It was taken into exile. And the Babylonians, what they do is that when they come and they conquer you and they remove you, they bring other people to the land. So it becomes a mixed attitude. So these people who have been brought into the land, they are telling Zerubbabel, listen, we worship the same God as you do. And we have been sacrificing ever since. What is required to make a sacrifice? An altar. And when was the altar repaired? In chapter 3, what we saw last week. So it means that they had no altar to make sacrifice. So what kind of sacrifices were they making? They are saying that they are worshiping the God of Israel, but they are not. That is why, indeed, they can be called, verse 1, enemies. So they are coming in a subtle way to attach themselves to the work that is happening. But when you welcome enemies into your camp, you know that you are welcoming sabotage. Zerubbabel was smart, verse 3. But Zerubbabel, Jeshua, and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses in Israel said to them, you have nothing to do with us in building a house to our God. But we alone will build to the Lord, the God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. We have nothing to do with you in this work. So they have been turned away. What is their reaction? When adversaries, when enemies, when atoned for, when they are turned away, what is their reaction? They give up. Verse 4. Then the people of the land discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build and bribed counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. There's this discouragement, there's intimidation. And they bought official help. They bribed some of the leaders. Remember, these people had been in exile. They have just come. And now the people that you have come to meet in the land, they are intimidating you. They are discouraging you. They have placed you on the wrong side of the authorities. Remember this, they are not on the wrong side of the law, they are on the wrong side of who? The authorities. And here in Africa, we know the difference. In other parts of the world, it should be the same. If you're on the wrong side of the law, you should be on the wrong side of the authorities. But here, the king had given a decree. So lawful thing they were executing, but people had just said, "Oh, my formichi," and paid people, paid the leaders, paid the authorities, bribed them. That, please, this is what I want you to do: frustrate them. This project, they shouldn't succeed. And so, let me jump to verse 24. Then the work of the house of God that is in Jerusalem stopped and it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. How long did they cease? From the time the decree was made, from verse 5 there to 24, is 16 years. Can you imagine this? 16 years of intimidation, of frustration, of no progress, of a standstill. But that is not all. Later, they were also going to have another form of opposition. And that is what we see from verse 6. There are three letters written to the king against Israel. And in the reign of Hazarus, in the beginning of his reign, they wrote an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Letter 1. But it appears that letter didn't have any impact. So adversaries, at time for, how do? They try again. verse 7. Now a new king. In the days of Artaxerxes, look at them. Bishlam, Mithridat, Tadil, and the rest of the associates wrote to Artaxerxes, king of Persia. The letter was written in Aramaic and translated. It appears that did not work. So at town four, what did they do? They come again. Verse 8. Rehum, the commander, and Shimshai, the scribe, wrote a letter against Jerusalem to Artaxerxes, the king, as follows. And this letter worked. The enemies of God's people, the enemies trying to inhibit and frustrate the purposes of God and the people of God, they are relentless. So they wrote, and they slandered the inhabitants. They wrote till finally it worked. And now, this letter that worked, look at the arguments they were making, how they managed to persuade Artaxerxes to do something against what the people were doing. It says, verse 13, now be it known to the king that if this city, so there's one of the clues that shows that this is a different time. Remember, they were building the temple at the beginning, but now the issue and the discussion is around what? The city. It says, now if this city is rebuilt and the walls finished, they will not pay tribute, custom, or toll, and the royal revenue will be impaired. If the walls goes up, your taxes go down. Their success is going to result in financial loss to the state. If you do nothing and they persist and they succeed, Ken, your revenue is going to be affected. And they actually said, they told the king, look, go and search in the records. You realize that these people, they are troublesome, rebellious people. King, don't take our word for it. Just do what? Search. So the king did and realized that, listen, I have to do something against them. And then from verse 17, we see the response. And so when they had the letter, they came with force and stopped the work. They stopped the work. What does this teach us? I think it teaches us two things. The first, quite an obvious one. Please, this is what we all have to embrace and understand. You will face opposition. And it's important we remember, because we have this in our heart, because these people, what they were seeking to do was just to fulfill the word of God. The building was in response to what God had commanded. They were a people submitting to God, yet they were opposed. I have a friend, sometimes when you are chatting and like he's facing some difficulties, he just says that, like, I don't understand though. Like, I'm not seeking to harm anybody. I'm just seeking to live my life. So where from this? You are just seeking to live your life, to run your business and move on, to care for your children, to marry, live in your home. But that alone, remember this, opposition that you face is not because you are being disobedient to God. Opposition is not for those who are walking away from the will and purposes of God. If you desire to honor the Lord, then we have to have this in our heart. You will be opposed. Imagine you going to a new place in your office, being given some new portfolio, and you say that you want to work in integrity. You are saying that I will not take any money that does not belong to me. Just that. You will be opposed. I had a story of a team, a friend, somebody he was discipling. So there were two teams taken to different places from their workplace. They were going to do some research. And this friend's friend, she was giving a team that was going far to the north. So they were giving some impress to run the research. And another was going nearby to, I think, Winneba. They were also giving, but they were giving the same amount with the same number of people. They are doing the same things. Now this person, she is a Christian. She goes back and then she's bringing a refund. And it was chaos in the office. Because what does that imply? If you going to North, you are coming with a refund, then the person going to Winneba. She's not saying that, let the person, she's not saying anything. She said, the money you gave me, this is how much I spent, and this is how much is left, and I want to work in integrity, so please take your money. The one receiving the money says, I can't take it. He says, I can't take the money. So take it away. And she also said, I can't take it. So she left it there. That was the beginning of chaos for her. So we should have this. The reason I'm stressing on this is that part of the issue we face when opposition comes is the element of surprise. We are not just dealing with the opposition itself. We are dealing with the element of surprise. We are asking ourselves, I'm not out there to hurt anyone. Why me? And when we are not we are caught in it, but if we don't have a mind that is open to, that is not aware that this will happen, look, it can trip us. I don't know if you've had this experience, if you are, let's say I'm getting off this platform, but I'm not aware that this is raised. This is not too high. And I'm thinking that it's leveled. Without knowing, and I just step, I can actually dislocate my joint. It's really short, but I've jumped from higher places. It's not just the height. It's the expectation. Because I'm not expecting it, I'm not prepared. And just short thing can dislocate my joint. Please. In John chapter 16, Jesus says that in the world, you will have trouble. So, you will face opposition. That tells us that we are living stones being built up into a spiritual house. So all that about you is the plan and purposes of God. You are being built up. Just as the building of that physical temple, they experience opposition, you also. You will experience difficult moments just because you want to honor God. So secondly, you must be able to press on in the face of opposition. We said that one, opposition will come. But that is not enough to know. We have to be able to press on. You have to be able to keep that dream alive. Some of us, perhaps now, we've become weary. The opposition, remember what they did. They discouraged them. It has affected our hearts. We want to give up. No. Keep the dream alive. And part of the ways we do that in the Gospels, we hear Paul, for example. Paul prayed that in Thessalonians, he asked them to pray for him, that God would deliver him from wicked and unreasonable people. Remember here in Ezra, the adversary, there were people. And Paul says in Thessalonians, people are also adversaries. We know, Peter tells us that the devil is actually our primary adversary. So he says that we should be vigilant and watchful because our adversary, the devil, he is moving. He is moving. He is relentless. He is just waiting for the prime, opportune moment to pounce and discourage and intimidate and frustrate the plans and purposes of God over your life. But the devil does not just move like that. He works through who? People. So that element of prayer, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus himself taught us to pray. Deliver us from evil. Don't take this for granted. Sometimes, because we miss point one, because we are not settled in our heart that opposition will come, we think that once we want to do what is right, everything will be all right. So with our plans, with our ambition, with the good we want to do, we are just moving on and doing. No, we are being naive. There is someone who wants to destroy the plans and purposes of God over your life. So like Paul, that is something you should be praying about. Lord, deliver me. Deliver me. Deliver me from evil. Any opposition and setback, Lord, deliver me. There are enemies around you. I'm not saying this for you to become the kind of Christian who is suspicious of everyone. When you come to church, you do a mission. No, you would have missed the point. But then to be aware that if you want to fulfill the purpose of God, God seldom leads his people through the path of least resistance. It's going to be tough. So the element of Paul praying, Lord, deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men. The element of Jesus teaching us to pray, Lord, deliver us from evil. Don't take that prayer for granted. But there's a problem. You know what the problem is? That kind of prayer, you can pray for a while. But when the resistance is protracted, you need something more. Remember this. The building stopped for over 16 years. You need something to be able to help you to become resilient. We need resilience. But there's a problem with the resilience. Now, look, when you look at this passage, this chapter, what is missing? You see, we have all the intrigue and the scheming and the activities of the adversaries. Now, if you are facing opposition in wanting to do the work of God, the will of God, what do you think you need? You'd want to hear something from God. You want to have some assurance from God that, listen, I am with you. I have not abandoned you. But in chapter 4, do we hear anything from God? Silence. Now, that is where the problem becomes even more acute. When heaven is silent in the midst of your opposition, our hearts go into overdrive. What happens is that when heaven is silent, we begin to feel forgotten. in chapter 1, we hear that it's God who started the whole thing. So we see the will of God, but in chapter 4, silence. So if we are going to have resilience in the midst of our opposition, we have to know how to deal with the silence of heaven. And you see the scheming of the people, they slandered the inhabitants of Jerusalem to their king. When heaven is silent and we feel forgotten, that is when our adversary also wants to do his work, to slander us. The devil would want us to believe and know that indeed God has forgotten and forsaken us. That, are you sure that God is for you? If God indeed was approving of this step you are taking, if God was indeed approving of this business you are venturing on these people that you are seeking to help, on this guy you are seeking to push through school, on this step you are taking about your education, about this desire to get married, if God is actually for you, why all this opposition? In the silence of heaven, the adversary speaks. What is happening is that the devil is putting our life in a certain narrative. And you see that when you read, you remember, when they wrote to the king, they told the king that search the records. You would have evidence to stop them. The devil would also want you to put your life in a certain narrative. And I'm telling you this, there's always enough evidence to coin any narrative. The devil will tell you, don't you remember? Look, God has forsaken you. Don't you remember SHS? The way God abandoned you after you finished school. That is why I couldn't go to the university of your choice. You are forsaken. What makes you think that now you can take that step in your education? Don't you remember the issue that you face? So the devil would want to put your life in a certain narrative. So if you are going to develop resilience, we have to take our life and put it in the Jesus narrative. And people, this is difficult, this is hard. This is not a switch you turn on. This is something you have to participate in daily. That in Jesus, the opposition that we actually face, the ultimate opposition of sin and death, he faced and conquered. The slandering against us, he is now before the Father making intercession for us. He is speaking for us. He is representing our interests before God. Now. And this is the narrative we have to put our lives in. Because in the midst of opposition, heaven will be silent. But your heart will not be silent. The devil will not be silent. In the same John, chapter 16, Jesus says that. Remember we said he told his disciples, in the world you will have trouble. But do you see what he adds? Be confident because I have overcome the world. Our confidence is in him who overcame for us. Be confident because I have overcome the world. And now this is the story you have to put your life into morning by morning, day by day. Day by day. Moment by moment. Otherwise, you will put your life into another story that would confirm the slandering. That will confirm the feeling of abandonment and being forgotten and being forsaken by heaven. There's a better story, the Jesus story. Shall we pray? You want to pray and say, Lord, help me to see my life through the Jesus story. The one who has overcome every opposition for me so that I can know. Even when heaven is silent in my opposition, it's not because I've been forsaken. You want to pray, Lord, please help me to relive this day by day, moment by moment. Father, in the midst of the position we are facing, may we put our life in the Jesus story, the one who overcame the opposition for us, so that we don't lose heart. Oh God, we pray. Oh God, we pray. Father, enable us. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we pray.